Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 39 if you're listening by shortwave radio. And tonight we're going to be discussing a little bit of some things that have been on my heart regarding how God is preparing the bride. And these are some very interesting times that we're living in right now. I've been a believer for almost 30 years, and I've never seen things happening like they are right now. When I first got saved, I was thinking the Lord must be coming just about any time, and I just was almost expecting, almost anticipating any day. And boy, I tell you now, it's certainly sooner than when I first believed. One of the things I think that we all have to be very careful about right now is the voices that are out there saying that they're speaking for God. Many people aren't discerning the voices that they're hearing. They're not bothering to go into the Word of God themselves. So many are just being drawn away by their own desires and voices that are just tickling the ears of those that desire to hear a good word. The words that I've been hearing in my spirit lately are very concerning, awakening to me, and I can only speak what I'm hearing. I can only reproduce, essentially, the work that God is doing in my life and other people, and this is where I am right now as a believer, is that God is dealing with me. He's dealing with my family with some very difficult words of obedience and really making ourselves ready for what God is trying to do in His bride. There was a vision that was given to a man, I believe his name was Tommy Hicks, many years ago, I think back in the 60s, and a ministry that I traveled with for a number of years. They had written a book called To Heal the Sick, and Charles and Frances Hunter, and they put his vision in the very beginning of the book, and this is the first book that I read as a believer. And the vision that this man had was the end times, that the body of Christ literally rose up out of the earth that he saw. And the first thing that it did when it was began to arise, the sleeping giant, was it brushed itself off, that there was filth that had attached itself to the sleeping giant while it was in the slumbering state. And it was always this vision, always kind of stuck with me, because those that they were not lovers of the truth. They didn't like the light. When this giant began to rise up, they began to flee into darkness. And it, you know, as I began to read the Bible, it began to make sense, because, you know, those that live in dark don't want the light because their deeds would be exposed, so they began to run away and flee. And what I'm seeing right now is that God is calling His body forth right now, and they're arising. I hear many people just hearing the Holy Spirit's voice telling them to go, to leave their country and to go places and to do things, and the just sovereign work of God right now is beginning to call people out, whether they are willing to be obedient and do whatever God's called them to do. And we left the States about 2 years ago at God's call, and we had no clue what God had in store, but it was just a matter of obedience to leave if He said to go. And this is who God is calling right now. He's calling the obedient-hearted ones that are willing to do whatever He says to do. And there's many voices right now that are speaking just comforting words, everything is okay. You might be hearing hard words from certain prophets in the world right now, and they're trying to almost negate those words as if they're like a Jeremiah that's just a bad news prophet. But we have to really go into the Word of God ourselves and really see, is this the voice of the Holy Spirit right now speaking to his bride to cleanse itself from the filth that has attached itself while it was in a slumbering state. You know, when I first came to Panama, I was just marveled and amazed at the hunger that the people have here, that when they would worship in the church, they were weeping and crying and just hungering for God like I had not experienced in the States. And I asked God, I said, God, why are they so hungry here and not back in the States? And immediately the Holy Spirit spoke back to me and said, have you ever been hungry while you were asleep? And I just thought about that. And it's funny how God sometimes answers a question with a question. But as I thought about it for a moment, I go, well, no, of course not. I've never been hungry while I was asleep. And then I realized that this was the symptom of the condition of the church of where I had come from in the States, is that there's a slumbering spirit over the church, and that in that state, they have no hunger. There's no hunger for God, that they have filled their heart with the things of this world, and they've become very comfortable in their lives and in their lifestyle, and they are not willing to wake up. They're not willing to roll out of bed and find out what the Holy Spirit's trying to say. But those that are watchful and that are attentive, they're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, wake up, arise, it's time to roll out of bed, that it's time to cleanse yourself from the things of this world that have attached itself to you, that you became comforted in your place of comfort, and now it's time to arise. And I think about, there's a few things that comes to my mind, was in Revelation, and in his Revelation chapter 22, verse 15, and I thought about how many people, they don't want to hear the truth right now. And it says, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And this is almost the dividing line right now between his people, is that his people love the truth. And those that love a lie or will not receive the truth or reject the truth, they will be set apart. And there's something else that's very interesting too. In Revelation chapter 19, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And so many people, they just want to take this blanket mindset that just because they consider themselves a Christian, that they're automatically the bride. And yet they have done nothing to make herself ready. There was 10 virgins in the story in Matthew, I believe chapter 25, and they were all virgins, and they all slept, but half of them had extra oil, had oil in their vessels, and half of them did not. And what I really see from this parable is that half of them were obedient while they are awake. Because the obedience of getting extra oil is what made them ready while they were asleep. That when they weren't at the time, when they had the opportunity, they were obedient. And many people right now are living in the comfort zone, and they haven't been disturbed enough to arise and roll out of bed. Many years ago, I could see that things were going to change in the United States, and I began to prepare for myself physically, and I got a food supply, and I did everything I can think of as a good Boy Scout, because I was an Eagle Scout at one time, and I did all I could think of to prepare. And all along, I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me, you can't prepare enough for what's coming. You cannot prepare. No matter how much you do, you cannot prepare enough. And I didn't really want to receive that word, so I just kept preparing and thinking I was doing the right thing. And I did the best I could. I didn't really, you know, sometimes we don't really want to hear the whole truth and nothing but the truth. We receive part of a truth and not the whole truth. And then when the Lord spoke to me a few years, about 2.5 years ago now, and said that your nest is in the wrong forest, then I realized that there was something that was going to take place that preparation would not allow me to prepare for. And what I began to see is that what's coming upon the earth is God's judgment. And there's no way you can prepare for God's judgment other than repentance and being obedient. Then it would be as silly as someone putting a sprinkler system in their home in Sodom or building their house on stilts in the days of Noah. That when God's judgment comes to the earth or to a land, the only thing that you can do is be obedient. And that's what Noah did, is he was obedient to do what God told him to do, not knowing what was going to happen, but he just built a boat in preparation, just doing what God instructed him to do. And it's very interesting is that the judgment that fell upon the land, which was in the form of water, destroyed everything that had not been obedient and not prepared itself during the time of preparation. And the water that destroyed the world actually buoyed and lifted up Noah above the situation. And this is what I believe that God is trying to do with all of us right now, is that there is a testing that's coming right now. Part of that test is, can you hear the Holy Spirit's voice speaking right now? Are you listening to a word that you want to hear, or are you listening to a word that may be very difficult to hear? Jesus, if you go back and you look at his words that are written in red letters, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, they were words that were not very easy to hear. They were very difficult to hear. And many people turned away, and John chapter 6 is just a great analogy of not receiving a difficult word. It said many of his disciples walked away and no longer walked with him. And I believe this is what's separating the real hungry, those who really hunger for the truth, and those who do not. That if you're hungering for the truth, that you will receive whatever God speaks to us. And I look back at Ezekiel, and when Ezekiel was first called, I believe it's in chapter 3, he had to eat the scroll, and it was not a pleasant taste. And he had to eat the whole thing before he could deliver the message. And what many people today do is that they think the Word of God is like a buffet line, that they can walk into this book and they can pick and choose the scriptures they like and they can disregard the ones they don't like. But the truth is that we have to eat the whole thing. We can't just pick and choose the words that we like and then don't like. It's not this buffet like I'll take a little bit of this and, oh, I don't like that, and I'll take a little bit of this. We have to receive every word of God. It says that man does not live by by bread alone. This is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the word is interesting, that the word of God there is not logos, but it's rhema. Every rhema word of God that comes out of his mouth. And this is the critical nature of all of us right now, is that we need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. That if we're not willing to receive difficult instructions right now in our life, maybe God's trying to expose some things, bring some things out because there's sin in our life that he wants us to get rid of. The Bible says that the bride made herself ready. There was a participation that she had to do to be the bride, that she had to examine herself in a sense, because it's made herself white. That it's not like a blanket, just, well, I'm under the blood, I've accepted Jesus into my life. This is a very, it's a road that's narrow, that it says, few there be that find it. In order to find this narrow road, you have to seek it. You have to look for it. It's not something that just you stumble across. The broad road is one that is very easy to access. It's one that doesn't require discipline. Jesus said that if you don't deny yourself, he said, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. That's the most difficult thing of all, is that we don't want to deny ourselves. We want to live for ourselves. We consider that we go around only once in life. You know, you got to get all that you can. But Jesus said you have to give up your life if you want to save it. I have a song here I'd like to play. It's It's called Come Away, and it's done by Jesus Culture. Open up your heart and let me in. A number of years ago, this is the analogy that the Lord gave me when I first asked Him into my heart. I knew He was calling my life, calling me to Him, but I really wasn't ready to answer the call. And it wasn't until I finally got to the point that I knew that I needed Him that I invited Him in. And I didn't expect Him to come as quickly as He did, but it's almost like I said, okay, you can come over. Well, immediately I was hearing a knock on the door. And when I went to the door, there His presence was in front of me. And His holy presence compared to my filth, I felt like a piece of dirt under a magnifying glass. And the first thing I thought to myself is I wasn't worthy to have Him come into my life or come into my house. But the first words He spoke back to me was, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to help you. And I said, well, come on in. My house is a mess. My life's a mess. And He said to me, well, how would you clean up your physical house? And I go, well, I go to one room and clean it up, and then I go to the next. And He said, well, that's all I expect of you with your life. You can't just snap your fingers and make everything jump in place. You just have to start with one room and get it cleaned up and then go to the next room. But He said, let me give you a word of advice. Don't leave that room until you finished it. Stick with it until you've got it completely done. And then you can look back and you can say, wow, I overcame this room, this troubled area in my life. And now I have more strength to go to the next room. And this is how He just began to go through room after room in my house. And I always kind of wondered the analogy, how did He have an order to those rooms that He took me to as He was beginning to clean up my life? And I was driving down the interstate one day, and I saw a guy picking up trash on the side of the road. And as I looked at this man picking up trash, he began at the end of an entrance ramp. So it was kind of like the point of the triangle, if you will, of the entrance ramp, right as you would merge onto the freeway. And he was starting at that point, and he'd probably walked 20 feet, and everything behind him was cleaned up. But he had trash all over the place up ahead of him. And as I was driving back by this man, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, and He said, your walk with me is like that man over there picking up trash on the side of the road. And I said, well, I don't understand. What do you mean? He said, well, look, he just picks up a piece of trash at his feet, and then he goes to the next one. He picks it up. And he said, it's no different than your life with me. Is you're only required for picking up the trash that's sitting at your feet. said, just like that man that was walking and picking up trash on the side of the road, he had lots of trash up ahead of him, but he wasn't responsible for that trash because he wasn't there yet. He was only responsible to pick up what was at his feet. And as I began to see that analogy, it made sense to me, because then I understood that the Lord begins to reveal things in our life that is not right with Him. And a responsibility that we have at that point is either to pick it up or walk over it. And what He was showing me too is that as this man was picking up trash at his feet, if he had walked over trash, that piece of trash that he'd walked over would have looked like it was stuck out like a sore thumb, because everything else is clean except for what's sitting right there, that he'd walked over. So the importance of cleaning up what God shows us is that that's what makes us faithful. That's what makes us a good steward, is that we were faithful to do what He told us to do. Even though there's lots of stuff maybe way up ahead of us down the road, we're not responsible for that yet because we're not there yet. And if there's trash that's still in your life that maybe you've walked all over, maybe it's time to go back and clean it up. Because this is the part of the preparation that God is doing, is that if we've walked over our trash, then will we be considered unfaithful? That we have not been obedient to do what God's told us to do and showed us? You know, many things in our life that are not right with Him are maybe very difficult to take care of. Maybe there's a struggle in your life that has been almost monumental and you don't even know what to do. Well, part of the strength that we get is the grace that God gives us. And part of that grace comes as a result of our humility, that we're broken before Him. And we cry out to Him in desperation, say, God, I can't handle this. This is something beyond me. And in the humility, when we come to Him in a broken state, is where God's grace and His strength comes for us to overcome what we've maybe tried to do on our own. And this is pride, when we are so prideful, thinking that maybe we look at other people and we think, well, they're doing it, why can't I do it? Or God is looking to separate us out. And the separation is where we no longer make excuses for our sin, that we no longer make excuses for our weaknesses. You know, really what it boils down to is being repentant or not being repentant. The Lord spoke to me here not too long ago, and He spoke these words to me. He said, true repentance offers no excuses. And when we are truly repentant and we are actually sorry for the things that we've done, when we are broken before Him in true repentance, God gives us strength to overcome those weaknesses. So maybe it's time to really examine ourselves and really see whether or not we are truly repentant, or we're just saying that we are sorry. You know, there's a lot of people in jail right now that they would like to say that they are repentant for their things that they've done that put them in this condition. But a truly repentant person is sorry for what they did, not sorry for the fact that they got caught or they're in the condition that they're in. And only a person who takes responsibility for their actions and says, it was my choices that I made that have got me in this situation, when they become broken and repentant, then change begins to take place in their life. And God's trying to change us from the inside out. He has to change our heart first before He can change the outside, before He can change the actions of our life. We have to have a heart change on the inside first. There's a number of words that the Lord has given me recently, and much of them are very strong words that God is saying to us right now, whether or not we are willing to let go, if we're willing to truly die to ourselves and deny ourselves and let go. Some of the words I've written on a website, it's Strength for the Journey, and this has a number 4, and it's under a title called Today's Rhema. And I encourage you to go to that link and go and look at some of the words that I believe that God is speaking to his body right now. They are very challenging words. And one of the things that he spoke to me a few words back was, are we willing to let go? How much is our destiny worth? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange of his soul? He said the consequences of this choice will be unbearable if we're not willing to let go of what we have. Many people, their security is in what they have. And he said, if your heart is far from me now, it will be far from me forever. Repent, therefore, and return to me with your whole heart, and I will forgive you of your adultery with this world. If you do not repent, all adulterers will have their part in the lake of fire. Cleanse your heart, you sinners, and purify your hearts from this adulterous generation. This is the choice that you must make. I will cleanse you once you make this choice. If you choose this world, the God of this world will be your bride, and you'll go with him to his destination. Divorce him now and come away with me, for this is the purpose of your creation, to be with me. Divorce him now and come away with me. Let go of this world and the things of this world and come away with me. Judgment is coming upon this world and those who have embraced it. Let go of it, and it will let go of you. Let go, for the reapers are coming. Once a soul is reaped, they are the bride of whom they have served forever. Let go, for the world has a grip on many. You must let go of it for it to let go of you. Many are lovers of pleasure and comfort and not lovers of me. Deny yourself means deny yourself, for you cannot be my disciple and follow me unless you deny yourself. If you do not deny yourself, you have chosen to love yourself more than me. And you cannot be my disciple and follow me if you love anyone more than me. If your possessions mean more to you than me, then you can have them. But the price to keep them will be much more than the price you paid to get them. Let go, for time is short. And I was looking at a scripture here, Luke 17:33, just a moment ago, and it says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. And I went back one scripture before this, and the scripture just before this in Luke 17:32 was, remember Lot's wife. And I just want to end the program with this encouragement that you need to remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife looked back. She did not let go. And God is saying for us to let go now. Thank you so much for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time. For the